The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain where they could be alone. There in their presence he was transfigured. His face shone like the sun and his clothes became white as the light. Suddenly Moses and Elijah appeared to him. They were talking with him. Then Peter spoke to Jesus. Lord, he said, it is wonderful for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He was still speaking when suddenly a bright cloud covered them with shadow. And from the cloud there came a voice which said, this is my son, the beloved. He enjoys my favor. Listen to him. When they heard this, the disciples fell on their faces, overcome with fear. But Jesus came up and touched them. Stand up, he said, do not be afraid. And when they raised their eyes, they saw no one but only Jesus. As they came down from the mountain, Jesus gave them this order. Tell no one about the vision until the Son of Man has risen from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. Amidst that all that this week has brought, it was a great pleasure for the clergy of our deanery to meet with our new Bishop Mark. He appears a kind, thoughtful, holy person with a twinkle in his eye, and most of us said, and it's the first time we've had a bishop younger than us. He spoke well to us, but he did say that he hasn't got a blueprint for the diocese except that of Jesus, which actually was a great relief. A lot of people think the church should be run like a business, like everywhere else, and, you know, clergy should have job descriptions. Nonsense. We've got one, and it's Jesus. And he was right, hitting the nail straight away, picking up, of course, from Pope Francis, because in his recent exhortation, Evangelii Gaudium, the joy of the gospel, he says, which fills the hearts and lives of all who encounter Jesus. And both Bishop Mark and Pope Francis centering on the figure of Jesus and sharing him with others. Nothing new, of course, because Pope Benedict had written three different books about Jesus of Nazareth while he was Pope. John Paul, in his letter to the new millennium 14 years ago now, speaking of contemplating the face of the infant Christ, the face of the suffering Christ, the face of the resurrected Christ, the risen Lord. So all of it is this finding Jesus. And that's what Bishop Mark said to us at the station mass. Find and make a friend of Jesus. Then go out and find a friend and introduce them to Jesus. Why? Because the figure of Jesus of Nazareth throughout history faces people with the question, the great question, who is he? And Lent, of course, is the time when people are coming, making their journey into the church for the great Easter mystery. They too face that question, and the readings and everything address that question to us. And it's one we constantly keep having to come back to. For he's either who he says he is, or he's a bad man, or a lunatic, or a liar. We believe he's none of those last three. And as faithful followers, or trying to be faithful followers of his, we believe that Jesus Christ is unique, fully human, fully divine. Jesus of Nazareth, son of Mary, alone the Son of God, revealed as the Word of the Father, became flesh for us, who was there in the beginning with God and is with us, full of grace and truth. that will have echoes of the celebration at Christmas. The Word made flesh and dwelt among us. His early years we know little about in Nazareth, but then he comes into the Jordan Valley and there comes to John the Baptist to be baptized. And he hears the Father's voice resounding, "This is my Son, the Beloved, on whom my favor rests." And the feast of the baptism of the Lord ends, as it were, almost the Christmas season, and then we have green time. But if you take the green bits out of it, the Gospels say after that, immediately the devil drove Jesus into the desert to be tempted. That we had last week, the temptations. And each of them, the devil says, "If you are the Son of God, if you are the Son of God." That great questioning going on in his own mind, because he's emerged from his hidden life. He's heard the Father's voice acclaim, because of course he was fully divine, but fully human. And he's questioning within himself, and that temptation there. But we know he resists with the Word of God. Later, after some time teaching the people, calling his disciples, healing, performing his miracles, he takes the 12 up to the top part of Israel, to Caesarea Philippi, top of the Golan Heights there, near Mount Hermon. And there was a huge shrine in his day, some of it's still there today, a shrine to the god Pan. And almost there along the niches, the arresting display of who's who among the pagan gods. Because, of course, in those days, the people believed in different god, and every nation had its own god, and there's a god of the sun, and the god of the moon, and the god of this, and the god of the other, and all that. And he, there, as it were, with that background, he says to them, "Who do people say I am?" It's an odd question. Not what are people saying about me, which is what we might ask, or what do they think about me, or what do they think about what I'm doing or my teaching or anything like that. And it's interesting, in the Catholicism series we watched last year, Robert Barron says, Buddha or Muhammad or Confucius, religious leaders themselves, would not have said the same question. They didn't ask that question. They might have said, "I've discovered a way to God." They might have said, "I've got a revelation from God." But they wouldn't make the claims that Jesus makes to be the Son of God. "Who do people say I am?" And when he's heard their responses, it was maybe Elijah, John the Baptist, Jeremiah, one of the other prophets, then he says to them, and he says to us, "Who do you say I am?" He stands, as it were, before the false gods of the world and asks for our clear decision. He compels a choice. Is he who he says he is? He is either God, or as Barron says, if not, then he's a bad man and a lunatic or a liar. Peter, we know, confesses, as we hear in the Gospels, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then, of course, he then goes on to predict the coming passion and death, which they and we always find difficult, whether it's our own passion in life or the passion of the Lord on all about it. So 6 days later, the Gospels say, he goes up to the Gospel we had today, Mount Tabor. And that's giving us a glimpse into another world. Because when they went up the mountain, they were going up to God. Always in the scriptures, going up a mountain is going to where God is. So he's giving us that glimpse of heaven. Back to Christmas. He came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. See how the whole thing hanging together, all of a piece. And as he goes up that mountain, and we're glimpsing that other world, there at the heart of it is Moses and Elijah. Jesus transfigured, Moses and Elijah, both dead from the Old Testament. But remember this, I'm always saying it to you, we are never dead to God. We are always alive to God. And that's brought very clearly out there, because there Peter and John and James are quite, there is Moses and Elijah. Let's make three tents, one for each of you. And then again, the voice comes, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased, listen to him. And then the next three Sundays, we're given three long gospels from St. John, who hasn't got the transfiguration. His Matthew, Mark, and Luke have. John doesn't, because the whole gospel is about the Word becoming flesh, who shows the glory, revealed glory of God. And in those three gospels, the next 3 weeks, you've got the woman at the well of Samaria, you've got the man who was born blind, you've got Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, Lazarus raised from the dead. And they make that progression from seeing Jesus as the man to meeting Jesus, sir, I perceive you are a prophet, to seeing and worshipping the Lord. And that, in a sense, comes to the end. What Jesus says at the end of the gospel, tell no man about this until the Son of Man is risen from the dead. And remember, on the octave of Easter, low Sunday night, Thomas, reach here, my Lord and my God. So that whole progression is Jesus saying, who am I? And getting us to say with the three next week, the other three that are there today, and Thomas himself, my Lord and my God. And Pope Francis and Bishop Mark invite Christians everywhere at this very moment, in this very season of Lent, to be renewed in our personal encounter with Jesus. And no one should think the invitation isn't for them, because the gospel is meant for everyone, no one's excluded from the joy of the Lord. All we need to do is listen to him.